And up on the platform here, there was this Bible exhibition. Now, for those who eagle-eyed, you might have spotted that it's not here anymore. That's the easy spot. But behind you, if you've got eyes in the back of your head, then you might have spotted that it's now up on the balcony. So later on, you'll be able to look, if your eyesight's better than mine, you'll be able to pick up some of the things. And of course, there was a questionnaire yesterday. You'll remember that, those who did it. And there were some really good answers given to these questions, some hard questions. And there were some really good answers, and maybe Andrew will see more about that later on as well. So yesterday, we were asking you questions. But, you know, maybe you've got some questions. And certainly in relation to the subject of Christianity, I'm sure you'll have some questions. Is this subject of Christianity really relevant in 2014? We've not really moved on beyond that. Some would say that. So let's think about that over these coming weeks. This is an introduction. You'll see there on the 3rd of August, introducing these other subjects. So is it still relevant? Is the Bible still true? Can we believe everything that's in this Bible? We're going to talk about that as well. What message has the Bible got that's of importance for me sitting here in this hall in Kennaway today? If God's a God of love, why is there so much problems in the world? You hear people saying that as well. Questions that you might have. Questions that aren't unanswerable. All of these questions have an answer. And if you don't hear the answer from the front today or in these coming weeks, this gives you an opportunity to ask some of these questions over a cup of tea and get answers to some of these questions that you might have. So it's an opportunity for you, and we hope that there can be that dialogue with you. Don't sit there with a question going, not too sure about that. Just ask somebody the question that's in your mind. There's also a number of myths and misconceptions about Christianity. And we might deal with them through these coming weeks. Things that people think. Christianity is this, or Christianity is that. Some of these, I say, myths and misconceptions, we'll deal with some of them. But I say, you might be sitting there and having a number of concerns. Or maybe you think there's a number of contradictions. And some of these things we hope to cover as we run through these weeks on a very, very important subject. A subject that we would say, and hopefully agree by the end of the month, that it's extremely relevant to each one of us. You'll see down at the bottom there, as we think about Christianity in relation to the world, clearly an influence it has had over centuries in the world. And then, of course, there's a big focus on Scotland just now, isn't there? The Commonwealth Games, they finish tonight. Finish tonight, John, don't they? So there's been a big focus, worldwide focus, on Glasgow in particular. They've had a lot of rain today, you're absolutely right. And focus on Glasgow, focus on Scotland. Ryder Cup coming up for golfing fans next month. And again, continuing focus. There's something else, I think, happening next month as well. Further focus on Scotland. But what about the influence of Christianity, the impact that Christianity has had in Scotland? Well, we'll think about that during this series. That brings it a bit closer, doesn't it? Ah, but then we can come closer still, of course. Because it's not just for the world, and it is. And it's not just had an impact and a relevance to Scotland, but what about me? And what about you as individuals? Does this message of Christianity, does the message of the Bible have anything to say to me today? And it does. And we'll think about that as we go through. Is it important? I'm sure in this last week there's been lots of important things that you've had to think about. And this week starting, I'm sure there'll be lots of other important things you've got to think about. And you've got to kind of prioritise them. Which is more important than others? Where does this sit? How important is Christianity? We're going to think about that. I suggest that probably that won't just be left to the last one. You'll probably hear about that as we go through. So, we're going to think about an introduction to Christianity. I actually went into my, raked around some of my books to see if I had any, because the word Christianity actually doesn't appear in our Bible. Okay? I was looking in some of my books to see if there was any that detected the word Christianity, and I found two. And actually, they're both books that were given to me a long time ago. Here's one here, and it's just entitled Basic Christianity by a man called John Stott. And of course, if you open it up, you'll find one of these old presentation labels. And I got it as a boy of 13 for attending Bible class 1978. There you go, a long, long time ago. Basic Christianity. That book there, written by this man called Mr. Stott, he died 3 years ago. And it's got a lot to say about Christianity and some of the basics about Christianity. Some of that we'll cover today and then through these coming weeks. Here's another one. I was given this one by my future father-in-law in 1992, the year before I got married. Christianity on Trial by a chap called Colin Chapman. Christianity on Trial, it is on trial. Maybe you're sitting going, well, I don't really know if I believe it. I don't really know if it's for me. It goes back to what I was saying just a moment or two ago. I don't know how relevant it is. Can I really believe the Bible written all these years ago? Is it not full of contradictions? I hear people saying that. Christianity on trial. Lots of questions. But each of these questions has an answer. And we trust that we'll cover these questions and answers throughout this interesting series. So, let's get on with Christianity. What's it all about? Now, as I suggested earlier, Christianity, as a word, doesn't appear in our Bible. But within Christianity, what's that first five letters? What does that say?
What's Christianity about?
Aha, that's the second line, John, yep. Any of the girls in the front, can you read the first six letters even? Can't count. For the top line. What's those first six letters there? Christ. Right. So, within Christianity, we've got those six letters, Christ. What do you think about that first? Because, you see, Christianity is all about a person. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes it very different from so many other things in the world. Very important that we understand that Christianity is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that first. Let's go back to Christianity. What about the first nine letters? Well, that's a bit harder, isn't it? Who can count well up to nine through the word? What do we get now? Christian, right. So we're thinking about Christ. Then we're going to think about Christians. Right. Think about that secondly. Then a small word. Very small word. It's highlighted. What changed colour? That's right. Not even it. Right. I. We're going to think about that thirdly. Okay. So that's nice and easy. Christ. Christian. I. All within Christianity. Okay. How are we going to think about Christ? We see the Lord Jesus. Call him the founder. That's where it all started. Okay. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus came into the world. And Christianity didn't exist before then, and it started then. So he started it. And it's important that we think about that, and we think about this wonderful person called the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read one verse. Even the word Christian doesn't appear in our Bible very often. I'm going to read one verse. The book of Acts, chapter 11. You don't need to turn to it. Verse number 26. It was mentioned maybe not even half an hour ago, by Bill Gillespie. Verse 26, it ends saying, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Right? Antioch's a place. The disciples. You may say, what's a disciple? Well, a disciple is somebody who follows. Okay? In this context, these were people who followed the Lord Jesus. Right? 12 disciples. We know them well. They followed the Lord Jesus. Then that number became bigger. People who were following the Lord Jesus were disciples, and they were called Christians first at Antioch. So it's followers, the followers of Christianity. And we're going to think a little bit about that. Why did they follow the Lord Jesus? Why was it important that they followed him. Why is it important that we follow him? That's probably more relevant, isn't it, today? I'm going to think about that. Important for all of us. Then we're going to think about, that leads on to the last one, I. What's the focus of Christianity? I've thought about that already. The world? Yes. Scotland? Yes. Kenway? Yes. Me? I. Bring it right down. That's the focus. And that's really the focus of these meetings as well, that we think about the relevance of this for us, sitting here, still at school, at work, wherever we are. Why is Christianity relevant to us today? So that's where we're going to go over the next 15 minutes or so, and then we'll have a cup of tea and an opportunity for some questions or chat afterwards. So, let's start with Christ. Christianity, what's it all about? I mentioned that it's really all centred in a person. I want to ask two other questions. Question number one, who is Jesus? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? That's very important that we think about that question. And then we're going to think about the question, what did he do? Okay. Who is Jesus? The Bible tells us that Jesus, he's God. And he came into this world 2,000 years ago. We know the story well. We think about it at Christmas. Maybe we don't think about it any other time of the year. But the Lord Jesus is God, and he came into the world, and he was born at Bethlehem. And we know that story very well. And then he did lots of amazing things. We don't hear much about him when he was as young as these girls here. But then we find that he said amazing things, and he did amazing things. So, for example, there was one day when there was 5 loaves, and there was 2 fishes, and there was a vast crowd of people, and they were hungry. I'm sure you're sometimes hungry, aren't you? And if you were there, and if you were one of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, as they were that day, and you looked around and there was no food. And then there was a little boy who arrived, and all he had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I think you'd be panicking and going, well, this isn't really going to work, is it? Thousands of people, maybe as many as 10,000 people. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And the Lord Jesus performed an amazing miracle that day. A miracle is just something extraordinary. In fact, it's the only miracle that's to be found in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read about it 4 times. So important. And the Lord Jesus did something that nobody else could do. Nobody else could have taken those 5 loaves and fishes. Here's somebody that's very different, isn't it? Different from everybody else. How is he different? You see, he's God. And there he was, and he was helping others. And he performed lots of miracles. And you know, he said things that nobody else said. You know, sometimes we say things, and you just wish you hadn't said them, all right? I'm sure it's true for the children. I'm sure for the adults as well, right to the very back. You say something, and you just wish you hadn't said it, and you're trying to pull it back in. Doesn't really work, does it? The Lord Jesus never had to do that. The things that he said were so different, so wonderful, so helpful. In fact, one day, there was people that were sent to catch the Lord Jesus, soldiers. They were sent to catch him, and they went and they listened to him, and they came back to their bosses, and they said, look, nobody ever speaks to this man. He's saying things that are totally different from everybody else. He's different because he is God. So he did miracles, and there was lots of things that he did. You know, he healed people that nobody else could heal. People who were blind and couldn't see, and they'd gone to the doctors. Doctors couldn't help them. The Lord Jesus could. People that nobody wanted to go near. People in the society that nobody really cared about at all. You know, there's people like that in Kenway. There's people like that in Glenrothes. There's people like that in Fife. But Lord Jesus, he befriended people like that. He helped people like that. Here's someone that's entirely different to everyone else that's ever been on this planet. The Bible tells us that. Who is Jesus? Ah, but more than that, did he just come to live an amazing, perfect, wonderful life? He did all of that. But why did he come? Why did he come at all? Could have stayed in heaven. Indeed, the Lord Jesus left heaven and he came down and he lived this wonderful life. And the Bible says there was a particular reason that he did that. And that's really what Christianity is all about. If he'd just come and lived a wonderful life, amazing though it was, and he went back to heaven, there would still have been a significant problem for us today. We're going to touch on that just in a moment. But he came because he wanted to help each one of us today in 2014 in Kennewe. That's what makes it relevant, you see. Oh, but you say, surely not. Surely Jesus coming into Israel, into Bethlehem, into Nazareth 2,000 years ago, why is that relevant to me? Well, because our lives can be changed dramatically because of this message of Christianity. So it's important that we understand who Jesus is, not just another man. Not just an extraordinary man, he was that. Not just a perfect man, he was that. But God, he is God. What did he do? Well, we've thought some of the things he did in terms of healing. But at the end of his life, he went to a place called Calvary. Quite often the symbol of Christianity is the cross. People have it around their neck. People have it on their wrist. You see it in churches, the cross. That's the symbol of Christianity. Why? Because Jesus came to go to a cross. You see, why did he have to do that? He had to do that in order for him to be able to help us today here in Kennewe. So two important questions to think about. Who is Jesus? A different man, a wonderful man, an amazing man. What did he do? He came so that he would go to a cross, so that he could help us, so that he could change our lives. And we're going to think about what that means just in a moment or two. Christ. If we get away from the Lord Jesus, if we don't think about the Lord Jesus, then the message of Christianity really has no impact on us at all. It's irrelevant. But when we start to think about the first six letters of Christianity, that brings meaning to it. Because it's all about him. All about him. What about his followers? Christians. Started off in Acts chapter 11. And down through the generations there's been Christians. All over the world. Today there's millions of them. People who are following the Lord Jesus. I want to think about two more questions. Question number one. Why do people become Christians? Secondly, how do people become Christians? There are two important questions. Why do people become Christians? Oh, you say, hold on a minute. People don't become Christians. People are born Christians. This is a Christian country, is it not? So people are born Christians. Well, you see, that's not what the Bible says. That's another myth. People aren't born Christians. Right? People aren't born doctors. They'll become doctors, but not born doctors. People aren't born Christians. No one has ever been born a Christian, a follower of Lord Jesus. Nobody, ever. People become Christians. So the question then is, why do people become Christians? Why did these people in Acts become Christians? Well, these were people who decided to follow Jesus because they realized that they had a need that only Jesus could meet. Simple as that. They had a problem that only he could help with. No one else could help. And he was a man, and the only man, who could help them. And they became followers of Lord Jesus. And you know, it's the same today. Why do people become Christians? Why do people in this room, why have people in this room become Christians? Or this town? It's because these people realize they have a need, and that need can only be met in the Lord Jesus. So I'm sure the question that you have for me then is, what's the need? What is the need that only Jesus can meet? Well, you know, that was one of the questions on the sheet that was up here yesterday. The last question was linked to that. And our great need, the Bible says, our great problem is the problem of sin. Small word. And yeah, that's a problem. You know, that just means the things that we do wrong. Okay? I'm sure all the young folk here that come to the GNC, they'll hear about that every week. What we do wrong. The Bible says it's sin. The things that we say wrong. The things that we think wrong. The things that we do wrong. The cheek that we give to our mums and dads. All of these, you add them all together, and every day, that's building up, building up. And the Bible says that's a problem, because we're never ever going to get into heaven unless that problem's dealt with. Well, you see, that becomes a real major problem, doesn't it? Christianity's starting to take a bit of relevance, isn't it? Here's a problem of sin. Unless it's dealt with, I'm never going to get into heaven. But you know, the wonderful message of Christianity and the good news of Christianity is that there's an answer to that problem. It'd be a really poor show, wouldn't it, if we told you about the problem and said, well, actually, there isn't an answer to it. Or even, you're just left to try and muddle your way through. That wouldn't be very satisfactory. But no, there's a very specific answer. An answer to that greatest of problems. Of course, the answer is the person of the Lord Jesus. He's central. He's key. Why do people become Christians? Because they have a need. They need that problem of sin dealt with. How do people become Christians? Well, you know, there was a man one day in the book of Acts, we're still thinking there, and he realised he had a need and he wanted that problem sorted straight away. He was a man, he was in charge of a jail, and he says, I've got this problem and I need help and I need to have the answer immediately. And he said this, here was his question: what do I have to do to get saved? In other words, what do I have to do to get right with God? What do I have to do to become a Christian? That's what he was asking. So the answer he was given, very important, isn't it? If we'd want to answer this second question, how do people become Christians? What was the answer that man got that day? Acts chapter 16. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. There's the answer. Still the answer. We need to recognise that we've got a need. We've got a problem. The Lord Jesus is the only person that can meet that need. And how do we get it met? By believing in the Lord Jesus. How do people become Christians? Christianity, what's it all about? It's all about Christ. It's all about becoming a Christian. And to do that, we've got to first of all realise we have a need, and then realise that Christ is the only person who can meet that need. I'm just about finished. Lastly, what was the last thing that was highlighted at the start? Christ was highlighted. Christian was highlighted. I. Well done. I was highlighted. Yes. Two more questions. What difference would it make if I was to become a Christian? We're thinking about an introduction to Christianity. In the next weeks, we'll be thinking about people who made a wonderful impact in the world and in Scotland who became Christians. What difference would it make to you or to me if we were to become Christians? What difference has been made in people in this hall who have become Christians? Maybe there's a question you can ask them over a cup of tea. What's the difference it would make? Well, just go back a little bit. Remember I said there was a great need that we had, the problem of sin? That need can be met. That sin can be dealt with by trusting in the Lord Jesus. That man who came, that man who ran the jail, and he came and said, what do you have to do to become a Christian? And he heard the answer. What was it again? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. And he did that, and his life was changed. That problem that he had, had gone. What a difference in his life. What a difference in our lives if we become Christians. That man then, the Bible tells us very clearly, there's lots and lots then of blessings, of benefits of becoming a Christian. Now, I became a Christian when I was 11, almost 12. Remember what I said earlier? We're not born Christians. There has to be a time, a moment in our life when we become a Christian. And since then, wonderful blessings. One of them is that once our life is finished, whether we live to 110 or 120 or 70 or whatever we do, people are living longer and longer now, however long it is. The Bible says at the end of life, if you're a Christian, you're going to go to heaven. You see, another myth. People say, well, we're all going to heaven. That's not true. That's never, ever found in the Bible. Not going to heaven. We're not all going to heaven. It's only people who have trusted the Lord Jesus. The Bible makes it very, very clear that they're going to heaven. So that's a big difference. And it makes it even more important that we become Christians. And there's lots of differences that happens. You know, when we've got difficulties in life, the Christian doesn't suddenly, everything become a garden full of roses. People talk about that. Everything's plain sailing, wonderful. When people become Christians, they've still got difficulties in life. They've still got ill health to deal with. They've still got problems in life. But you know, now, there's another difference. They've now got a friend that they never had before. And that's the Lord Jesus. He can help. And that's something that's very, very real. You ask any Christian about the friend that they have. You know, another thing that people say is, you know, Christianity is just for people who need a crutch. That's another misconception. Christianity is just for weak people, and they just need a crutch. People who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, they can tell you that this is a friend, a wonderful friend that's with them all the way through their life. These are the facts about Christianity. That's what makes it so wonderful. That's what makes it so, so relevant. What difference would it make if I become a Christian? An amazing difference. Your life would be turned upside down. Your life would be transformed. You know, there are people, and every Wednesday, I think it is, and every Saturday, they're just looking for those whomever numbers, six numbers to turn up. And they think that if that happened, wow, their life would be so different. That's not true either. There's a man in Thornton, not far from where we stay, and a good number of years ago, he won millions on the lottery. And he's the most miserable individual around. His family disintegrated, blew apart. You see him driving around with his little dogs, miserable. Big bank book, not happy. But life becomes transformed, absolutely, by trusting in the Lord Jesus. Christianity, that's what it's all about, you see. It's something that's real, it's something that's relevant. Final question. What if I don't become a Christian? You see, it is a choice that you've got. You'll be hearing more about that in these coming weeks. God doesn't force himself into your life. Never does. It's your choice. It's the biggest choice that you'll ever make. Do I trust the Lord Jesus or not? Do I think about the Lord Jesus, who he really is, or not? Do I think about my greatest need or not? Am I going to heaven or not? Big questions, big issues. And you know, there are people, and they think about it and they say, it's not for me. Lots of people in Kennaway, people who have been in here, people who have thought about it, and have just decided, it's not for me. That has huge consequences for their life. Why not make sure that we're believing in the Lord Jesus, we're trusting in him? Christianity is something, it's a decision that no one ever regrets. You know, there's things that you do, and there's things that I do, and we regret doing them. There's choices that you make, and I'm sure you regret them. You look back and you go, I wish I'd never made that choice. Some big choices in life, and you regret the big choices, and you say, I wish I'd never done that. But you know, of the millions and millions and millions of people who have become Christians, not one has ever regretted the moment they trusted the Lord Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? Not one. You'll never find one who regretted ever deciding to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That can't be said about anything else in the world. Christianity makes a difference, and it can make a difference in your life. Maybe you're saying, my life is complicated, and my life is difficult, and there are problems that I wouldn't even share with other people, and that's absolutely true, I'm sure it is. But here's something that can change your life, and change it in a moment. It's not something you grow into. When I became a Christian, it happened like that. And it can happen like that for you as well. You must recognise you've got a need. That's the problem of sin. The Lord Jesus is the only one who can meet the need. He's God. He came to save. He came to go to a cross. He came to be able to help us by dying on that cross. And if we believe in him, if we trust in him, our sins can be forgiven and our life will be tremendously changed. We're going to hear more about that in these coming weeks. I just want to leave you with one little story. Maybe it comes into the third one, impact of Christianity in Scotland. You know, there have been lots of famous Christians in Scotland over the years. And one of them was a man who was a pioneer doctor. He was a man who invented anesthetics, chloroform. So when you go to the dentist or if you go to the hospital and they've got to put you to sleep to do something, this man, he developed all of that about 150 years ago, right? A man called James Simpson. He was an amazing man. He was a doctor to the Queen, and he was a Christian. He was a person who trusted in the Lord Jesus. Now, one day, a journalist went and said to him, Mr. Simpson, what is your greatest discovery? Now, he discovered lots of things. He'd been an inventor of lots of medical techniques and equipment, and his greatest, the journalist thought, would have been anesthetics, chloroform. What's your greatest discovery, Mr. Simpson? Mr. Simpson thought just for a moment and then said, my greatest discovery is the day that I discovered that I had a problem called sin. The journalist was a bit taken aback. Wasn't particularly happy with the answer he got, so he thought he'd try again. Okay, he says, what was your second greatest discovery? He thought he'd get on to the chloroform this time. What was your second greatest discovery? Oh, he says, that's easy. If my greatest discovery was that I needed God to help me, my second greatest discovery was coming to realize that the Lord Jesus had died on a cross, and if I believed in him, all my sins could be forgiven. And the journalist left, disappointed. But James Simpson wasn't disappointed. Even in spite of all these wonderful things he'd invented, what an impact he made on medicine, but Christianity has made a bigger impact in his life and in lots of people's lives, not just the famous people like him, but in lots of ordinary people as well. So we hope that's been helpful in terms of just introducing this wonderful, thrilling subject of Christianity, and that you come back next week. It's like reading a book, isn't it? You've got a sequel and then you go on to the next chapter, and in the next chapter you just can't put it down. Well, it'd be great if you could come to all of these five Sundays and hear about Christianity as it's influenced the world and as it can have a wonderful impact on your life, Andrew.